Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever this finds you today. I am Becky Brown, sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I am joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Mylon Yurkovich. Hello in California.
Hey, folks. I already have a smile on my face because it is really fun being with you two. I always learn something. And you folks listening, we're so glad you tune in with us.
Yes. And if you are listening, give us a call. We are going to be answering your phone calls for a couple hours. And you've got some of the greats in the room with Alice and Mylon. And I was telling them before we started today, instead of having a list of to-dos that I need to talk about, we're kind of going to go free range. And you wonder, well, what does that mean? Well, we're just going to give you some encouragement in this day and age where we are all challenged for encouragement. So Mylon said, well, does that mean it's like the eggs that I buy at Costco? And why don't you tell them about your experiencing buying chicken? I mean, not that that has anything to do with mental health or, you know, encouragement, but it might encourage somebody. Do you want to share, Mylon?
Well, of course I will. I was at Costco and I bought this chicken that says without it, no antibiotics in it. And I walked up, I was at the cashier, and I said, you wouldn't happen to have this with antibiotics, would you? I said, I'm getting kind of a scratchy throat, and I'm trying to save a trip to the doctor. And he looked at me, and he just said, no, dude, I have no idea. You know, so he just realized, what you realize is not everybody thinks you're funny.
Now, that's right.
My children have told me that. They said, Dad, you're not funny as you think you are. And so I've had to be put in my place from time to time.
Oh.
But I'm also, you want to be respectful of the pain people are in. And
yes,
you want to be respectful of, because at times in the last 6 months, I haven't been humorous. At times, mm-hmm, I have not appreciated humor.
Right.
Because life's very sobering and it's harsh. And it's difficult. So trying to walk that balance of having some lightness, yet mm-hmm, accepting the gravity that's upon us is really mm-hmm important to expect, and, or excuse me, to anticipate. We don't know where our audience is when we're talking mm-hmm to anybody, and it's mm-hmm important to ask them.
And, you know, one of the messages that New Life has always been about is that Jesus Christ gives us hope. Mm. Because of the power of the resurrection and because of his saving grace in our lives, we can have hope. Even in these tense, uncertain times, we can look to the Lord to give us some direction and to give us that solid foundation as everything feels like a moonwalk right now. You know, Alice, what are your thoughts about this uncertainty?
Well, when we are not feeling lighthearted, being able to admit what we're really going through, what's weighing on mm-hmm us to someone that's safe and that will sit with us in it, that
right
will be with us, come alongside us, that is such an antidote to the struggle. I actually mm-hmm had to do it this morning. I was on a deadline. I had a couple things going on and my children were asking for my attention. It was getting to be a little too much. And I just pulled my husband aside and I said, this is one of those mornings. I really need you to take care of the kids for me. I need to be able to not talk right now. I'm feeling kind of grumpy, kind of anxious. And would you pray for me? And being able to admit it, ask for what I need and get the help, it always serves to calm me down. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about God's perspective on this, I cling to a verse, Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I got a lot of needs. And mm-hmm sometimes they're met by my loved ones. And always turning to God. He will be there for us. And it's part of what we at New Life want to do for you too. We want to help meet your needs. We want to be God's conduit to you. So call us today. We're ready.
Yeah, we are ready, and we've got some calls, and we're excited. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Hello, all of our Facebook family. We're glad you're with us today, too. And we'll be back in just a minute.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It is Becky Brown joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Mylon Yurkovich, and we're taking your calls today, 1-800-229-3000. We're so glad that you are listening today, and we know that we're going to offer some hope and help. And we're going to start by going to the calls. Today we're going to talk to Beth, who is calling us from Boise, Idaho, listens on KBXL. Hello, Beth. Thanks for calling. And how can we help you today?
Thank you. I have a question for Mylon. My husband and I are both going through the How We Love book. And I identify myself as a pleaser. And he doesn't really know. He's sort of on several of the different love attachments. However, what we're experiencing is we'll be doing just great for about 6 to 8 weeks. And all of a sudden, I will ask a question or say something, and then it is just this big blow up. Then I will share that, you know, hey, that was a rough response. And then it is like we are at war with each other. I just wondered if Mylon knew possibly which maybe core he is in, so that we could understand it a little bit better.
Mylon, you want to go ahead?
Well, Beth, what other clues do you have in the 6 weeks? You said this happens approximately every 6 weeks or so. Are there other clues, other behaviors?
Well, there'll be a project and a lot of intensity, a lot of working on something. It's a project and a lot of... Yeah, intense stuff is going on, and it seems like, you know, it'll be just fine, and then I'll say something, and then it just blows. It made me often think about like a pressure cooker, and I ask, we need to figure out how to relieve some pressure during when it starts getting to that volatile stage. Because then it's name calling, and I get my feelings hurt. And what my strategy is, of course, is to run away.
So Beth, let me ask you this: it sounds as though I'm going to use a word you didn't use, but with name calling and the anger and the rage that I'm hearing, does the word vicious ring a bell? Does that fit? That some of his behavior is vicious towards you? How difficult? Hold on a second, Beth. How difficult was his childhood?
Very difficult.
Okay, so let's stop right there. When a person has a smattering of all of the attachment styles, or they relate to all the attachment styles at some level, we always ask the same question. Kay and I ask the question, how difficult was your childhood? The answer is always, almost 99% of the time, very difficult. Because as a child, the child had to adapt or work within a chaotic, disorganized system. So they tried everything. But what is true is that this person is unresolved in the sense that, and I appreciate your pressure cooker idea. We talk about that in the book. But what has to happen is he needs relief every day, not right before the buildup. He needs to learn to begin to share his feelings every single day, because what's happening is he's taking his intensity and he's focusing on a project. But the key word is intensity. And he struggles with how to regulate himself in either projects or with people. And so it's very intense, and it'll be, if he's distracted, then you don't have any of the, you know, the overflow. But then all you have to do is interrupt somehow or intervene in some mm-hmm. way, and you become the lightning rod. Anytime somebody mm-hmm. becomes a lightning rod, it hurts really bad. And so the key thing is, I would see him as the chaotic, disorganized attachment style in our book, and realize he only knows how to avoid and then explode. And so I would say that what he really wants to work on, what you need to work on as a couple, is the pain in his history. Because there's two ways to rectify our current anger. One way is to really work on the managing of it in the real time. The other way is to grieve the history that created it, and to also grieve and be angry at the sources that caused me to have so much pain and is still monopolizing my life. So now, I know Becky and Alice have a lot of good opinions on this as well.
Well, I mean, Mylan, you're the man on this one. I mean, it's just amazing what your work in How We Love addresses this. And Beth, I'm sure some of that has helped. But Alice, I'd love to hear what you want to add to that.
Beth, I would advise you to revisit the most recent blow up after things have become calm again with your husband. And something that the comfort circle does is it takes your husband back to what mm-hmm. did you feel when I asked you that question mm-hmm. that led to the blow up, and what in your past does that remind you of? Mm-hmm. Your husband may or may not be able to go there at this point, but that's eventually what needs to happen to figure out what the roots are that are leading to the blow up with you in the present. The past is probably overshadowing the present, and mm-hmm. you're getting the blame for it. Mm-hmm. Two other pieces to add in is to acknowledge anything on your part where you're also falling short in this blow up. So if it's, you know, when we get into name calling, I give it back to you, or I give you the cold shoulder for a couple days afterwards. So I know I'm not perfect in this process, and I'm getting help, and I'm working on my part in it. I also am not willing to tolerate the name calling from you. And so if that's to happen again, this is what I'm going to do to protect myself and to protect our relationship. And Beth, maybe that's I'm stepping away for a day. I'm going to create some distance so that I can protect my heart, because I'm not willing for this to continue in the same way. And it's those ingredients that if you can be consistent with them over time, Beth, they will strengthen you and have the best likelihood of influencing your husband to take a different look at his behavior here too.
And there's empathy that's so desperately needed, mm-hmm. Alice and Becky. Beth, both of you need empathy. Your husband mm-hmm. grew up in a very battered, tattered childhood, and to love him there. But what he can't often have for himself is empathy for the little child he once was. Mm-hmm. And so with the comfort right. circle, we can begin to bridge the gap into that empathy piece. And I know both of you, Becky and Alice, know how important empathy is for mm-hmm. us to really heal and grow.
I agree 100%, of course, because I've learned so much from reading and mm-hmm. listening to all things How We Love. And I know, Beth, that it's going to make a difference in your life. I also want to encourage you to just feel your feelings. You know, that the soul word list has changed so many people's lives, and that empathy part of it is because we all have feelings. We all experience the world with feelings, and when we can get out of those old routines that have been in place for so many years, it's amazing the healing that occurs in relationship. Thanks so much, Beth, for calling. We're going to talk to Lucy, who's calling us from Atlanta. And she listens on Sirius XM, and we're so glad she does. Lucy, how can we help you today?
Yes. Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling. I'm newly married. We're about to celebrate our first year anniversary. Conflict resolution is horrible. I was telling the screener that we get in, like, dumb, normal fights about, you know, who let the dog out or who didn't let the dog out, you know, nothing major. And it turns into very strong verbal, in my opinion, verbal abuse, but name calling, labeling me as unbelievable, he can't live with me any longer, you know, just things like that. So there's a little bit of backstory I wanted to give. He was in the military. I feel like there might be some PTSD there. He definitely had a terrible childhood, still has a bad relationship with his parents. His parents are not believers. He is a believer. We're both believers. He goes to his dad for counsel, knowing that it's not going to be godly advice. I always know when he's gone to his dad because he'll come back and say things like, I have my rights and I have to stand up for him. So that's a little bit of the backstory. My question today is, we are going to one of y'all's counselors next Thursday, but we had another instance of verbal abuse last night, and my mom listened to you guys and advised that I needed to separate myself, like y'all just talked about with the last caller. So I have, I am staying with a friend right now. And he's telling me that God won't honor this and that, you know, if I leave now, what am I going to do one day, just divorce him over all this? So I don't know how to get through the next 10 days and not make things worse.
That's a lot, isn't it, Lucy?
Sorry, I probably told you.
No. You don't have to apologize. That's okay. I think it's a lot. I wonder, a couple of questions that I have before Allison Mylan addressed this. I was thinking, I wondered how long you dated before you got married, because, you know, that kind of will give us some information. But also, was this a pattern that was in place before marriage? So, you want to answer those, Lucy, okay. And then we'll go from there.
Sure. We did only date a year, but and to be honest with you, it was me before we got married that would get upset most of the time. I had a lot of insecurities from my past and my childhood that, you know, would come out in the form of jealousy, and we, through y'all's programs, have worked through that. But on his part, I never saw this until he got his job that he has now, which is in law enforcement, which he hates his job. And it's so funny because when he leaves to go to work for his 4-day shift, that's when something usually happens. Mm-hmm. And then the day that he gets his weekend, he comes and he's remorseful, repentant, tells me he didn't mean any of the things he said. You know, it's like work triggers it. But I receive the brunt of all this.
Yep. Okay, we got a good picture. Alice?
Lucy, when he expresses his fear, you're probably just going to divorce me, and he goes to those extreme statements, how do you tend to respond to him?
I assure him. I mean, I'm head over heels in love with him. I tell him that God worked through this, that, you know, it's normal to have problems, that I love him. I love him no matter what. I do tell him that I'm going to stand up for, you know, guarding my heart. I do tell him that, but that doesn't equal divorcing him. It equals, you know, doing what's best for both of us to move forward, which is, you know, getting the counselor and things like that. But I really try to, you know, empathize with him and, you know, tell him I understand, you know,
Lucy,
to make you feel this way.
Good. I want you to know I'm very proud of you. This is a difficult and painful and confusing dynamic with your husband, that he would blow up to such an extent over seemingly such small things. And I see you taking these calm and biblical steps to protect your marriage. So way to go on handling something that's painful and very confusing. Your husband sounds like yes.
Thank you. I listen to you guys a lot.
It shows not only that you listen, but that you put into practice what you hear. I'm going to give you an additional step to take in addition to continuing reaffirming your love for him and your commitment to him. I think that he is terrified, and his terror comes out in anger, unfortunately. I'm not justified at all, but that's how he's expressing it. And so I'm going to ask you to step into the fear with him, and to ask him about his fears. So how did it affect you that I left and I'm staying with my girlfriend? I hear that you're worried that I'm going to divorce you. Tell me what you're afraid of. And I think, Lucy, if spending some time hearing out his fear before correcting him that's not your plan, that's not your intention, he needs that affirmation as well. But he needs to be drawn out in his fear. And so that will help moving closer to his heart.
Hang on, okay. Lucy, because we're going to come back and we'll hear from Mylan. But if you're listening and you recognize some of this in your own life, you can give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, and we can help you. You also can check out Steve's Going Deeper podcast or videocast at YouTube or on our Facebook page, where we go a little bit deeper into some of these conversations that we have every day on the radio. We're here to help you, and we know that things can get tough, but we also know that there's hope, and we're here to direct you in that way. So give us a call, and let's help.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're listening, and you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We'll be taking your calls for a little bit more than an hour. And but right now we're talking to Lucy, who has shared about some of the challenges in their new marriage. I'm sure no one has had any challenges in their new marriage, but Lucy's brave enough to share with us. Mm-hmm. And Lucy, we wanted to hear from Mylan to see what he had to say or to add to what Alice had already said. So Mylan, go ahead with that.
You know, Lucy, marriage and close relationships expose our weaknesses. A relationship is the great exposer. When we are in close proximity, the real us comes out, or we feel pressure that we hadn't before. And so to realize that where you're at in your first year of marriage, that you feel stressed, that something is coming out that you hadn't seen fully before, that's not a surprise to me, because in all relationships that happens. To that point, really, Lucy, we could say that in 50%, if whatever the numbers are, of marriages, they don't make it, because the pressure that is created within relationship is really unanticipated by people. They don't they just think they're in love and life's going to be blissful. But I want to reassure you to say that this is not ultimately a bad thing if you work with it. Mm-hmm. And Alice had some really good points, and so did Becky. But I really want to encourage you to address the pattern. The pattern is what happens to you right before you go to work. And it's a four-day shift, and maybe he's separated from you. And then when he comes home, he feels a sense of relief. And I would talk to him about the pattern. What do you feel? Having been in the military, as you reported he had, I don't know what he went through. I don't know what it was like to go out on an assignment or on an operation, and how much tension, what he saw. And right now, to be a police officer is not an easy thing to be. There's a tremendous amount of pressure to be a police officer in this world, in the United States right now. And so I would really want to talk to him about that. What's happening? What pressure does he feel? What's happening with his superiors? What's happening with his peers? How afraid is he? And Alice asks a great question. How afraid is he of you when you talk about, I'm not going to be here because I'm not going to be treated that way? But what does he fear when he goes to work? And as in our book, How We Love the Comfort Circle, gives you instructions on how to ask those kinds of questions and deeply empathize with what it's like to be him. It would be very challenging to be in law enforcement these days.
I love that answer. One of the things that you have taught me, Mylan, is that healing occurs in relationship, and that's mm-hmm. what he's talking about there mm-hmm. to you, Lucy. And we're going to send you a copy of How We Love. And I hope that all of our listeners will take into consideration some of those patterns that we're in, that just, it's almost like automatic.
Yes.
And as tensions and anxieties are high because of everything, I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so many things that are triggering us right now, to step back and recognize, where did this start? What do I need? And how can I get help? Right now, we're going to get help from my boss, Larry Sonnenberg. He's in the studio.
Hi,
Larry. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Thank you.
Well, great. What do you have for us today?
Well, you know, Club New Life is a mainstay for New Life. Mm-hmm. And I've said before that if it wasn't for Club New Life during this COVID crisis, we would really be hurting. They've really been the constant wind in our sails. And it's allowed us to do things, you know, make resources available on fear and anxiety through this COVID thing. Steve's done the daily Facebook Live. It's morphed into going deeper with Steve Arterburn. And I remember he did a 12 Steps of Grief as part of that and how valuable that was for people. Mm-hmm. We've learned to coordinate with speakers and counselors and how to do our online workshops on Zoom. And all this, because we had the confidence and the hope and knowing that Club New Life was going to respond. Mm-hmm. When Club New Life has kind of plateaued the last few months, and I think people in their uncertainty are just not sure what to do. But we've created a new thank you gift. I hope that might encourage some folks who've been on the fence thinking, should I or shouldn't I, to take a step. Here are the books that will be sent to you if you commit to $30 or more a month, or if you're a current Club New Life member, if you increase your monthly giving by $10 a month. We have 7 books. Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Daniel Amen. Take Your Life Back and Healing is a Choice. Both those are by Steve Arterburn. Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, and then Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. Those two books are by Dave Stoop. The Emotional Freedom Workbook by Steve Arterburn and Connie Neal. And then Growth Has No Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. So one gift, $30 that you commit to a month or more, and those books are yours. And it makes a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives.
Sounds like a great deal. You give, and it gives back to you, and you're making a difference in the lives of so many people, which is what we're all about here at New Life.
You get so much from it on an ongoing basis, too, mm-hmm. being part of Club New Life. Two of my favorite things. I get a phone call from a New Life staff member. What can I pray for you? How can we pray for you? What are your prayer requests? They do a check-in with me, and I feel like such a part of the family. Mm-hmm. And then the goodies that we get throughout the year, I get to open this package, and it's some fantastic book from New Life, and it always enriches my life immensely, and then I can share it with others. It is a gift that just is invaluable.
And we have the monthly CD that you can download and resend. It's part of it as well.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you, Club New Lifers, who are already part of it.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You're with Becky Brown, Dr. Ellis Benton, and Milan Yurkovich answering your calls. You can call 1-800-229-3000. And right now we're going to talk to Rachel, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., WAVA, one of our favorite stations. Mm-hmm. They're all our favorite stations, but we have some good friends over there at WAVA. Rachel, thanks for calling, and how can we help you today?
Hi, guys. Long time, big time. I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and I have learned so much through the years. I have a situation where I guess you could say it's a shunning. My parents, as well as my 3 siblings, have shunned me for the past 14 years. Started when I was 30. They just poof, disappeared. As in, moved out of state and didn't tell my sister, my other sister, and myself.
And, you know, there's some family drama backstory, you know, as I tried to point them in the right direction, good godly advice. And I think because they didn't want to hear that, maybe that was why I got shunned. I don't know. But, gosh, I've tried everything through the years, every way possible to reach out to them through friends, through the internet. I've had, you know, through extended family. I've had Mother's Day cards returned to sender.
Rachel, when you gave them that advice, what was it about? What were you advising them for or against in their own behavior?
Yeah, thank you. It's a sister of mine wanted to divorce, and I was trying to suggest things like, well, why don't you ask your husband instead of assuming this or that? Or why don't you try Christian counseling? Or why don't, you know, things like that, where if you're not on our side or on her side, and then a bunch of really horrible lies were made up about the husband, and they took the kids with them, like all of them, out of state with the mom, and who is my sister, and that becomes a federal offense. So they were eventually found out. The husband, my ex brother-in-law, has full custody of the kids. The kids have now grown. It's been 14 years. I have tried again and again.
So, Rachel, you know, what would your question be for us? It sounds like a really difficult situation, a lot of heartache.
It is.
What would you like us to help you with?
Well, you know, regarding that family, I feel like there's mental illness as well as a cult that they were a part of, a Christian commune, supposedly, back in the 70s. I think it just really messed up their mind. And my dad is controlling, and my mom is enabling and codependent. So my situation and my question is, what do I say to friends who want to pull out the card where they just say, well, you need to just forgive your father? And I don't know what I have to forgive him of, honestly. I mean, he's made a lot of hurtful choices, and I miss them, and I'm sad. But I know what forgiveness means. I know what it means to forgive someone who doesn't ask for forgiveness, who has wronged you. I don't feel like, even though they're shunning me, I don't feel like they owe me anything. I was an adult when they left. I mean, I had a newborn in hand. They've lost out on our relationships. But what do I tell my Christian friends when they just, when I'm ready to reveal it to them and I tell them, and then they just say, well, you need to forgive.
Like, so here's the challenge always is that sometimes when people are asking or, you know, giving direction, they don't know all of the details. And our forgiveness has to begin with the fact that they don't know everything, and we don't have to give everybody an explanation. And it can be exhausting. Okay. And I imagine, Rachel, if you've been doing this for 14 years, it's just like, I can't make sense of this because it hasn't made sense to me. And so then it feels a little intrusive when a friend would ask that. However, that just is an indication that you're not at peace yet with this situation. I don't know if you can be at peace with something that doesn't make sense. But Mylon and Alice, I'd be interested to know what you would have to say about this situation.
Well, why are your Christian friends giving you that advice to begin with?
I don't know. I mean, it's confusing to me because...
Well, Rachel, let me ask this, okay? Could your friends, your Christian friends, be suffering from listening fatigue? In other words...
No, this is when I'm getting to know someone that I've sort of gotten to know in church, and then we get together for tea, and then they ask about my family, and then it's like, well, it's kind of like this, and I give the story about, well, this is the situation, and I try to give the summary version at first, but they always ask questions because it's baffling, and it's everyone wants to quickly assume that it's the child that's rebellious towards the parents, or that all I have to do is pick up the phone and call them. If I would just do that, everything would be great.
Well, I think the thing, Rachel,
it's a cop out. I feel like it's pulling out the Christian card of, oh, you just need to forgive. That's what I should say as a Christian.
Well, I don't disagree with you. A lot of times people don't know what to say, and mm-hmm. so they throw down certain Christian cards. I agree with you. But I'm just wondering if you're oversharing. That is, if I've ever had estranged relationships in the past, and we have, I really don't give a lot of detail to someone who is new. Okay. I only give detail to my closest people. And so I'm not leaving myself open to people who are just telling me things because they don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And I think I think there is the importance of being discreet about what I will share with people, and maybe I'm overwhelming them. I'm just asking that question. Okay. Rachel, I'm very sorry about what's going on in your life. It would be hard to have that happen. Mm-hmm. But so at some level, we need to let them go. I don't think the word forgiveness necessarily applies as much as accepting what is true. They have left you. They have rejected you. And I've got to live with that, you know, because I'm not going to be able, with all your efforts, and God bless all your great efforts, they've not responded. Mm-hmm. So there's no answers. There's no way to reconcile all this except to accept it.
And acceptance is the beginning of so many healing processes.
Yeah.
But I love what you had to say, Mylon, and I think you can't believe that all of this has gone on. There's a part of it that is so, you know, inside of your heart, you cannot believe it. And so then when somebody else offers a real pat answer about something, then that adds to that incredulous, like, I can't believe that that's, you know, if you don't think I've already thought of that. So there's a lot of defensiveness that kind of gets built up.
Yeah.
I love the insight you've offered, Mylon. Alice, do you want to add anything?
Rachel, aren't people irritating?
I know they mean well.
But they are irritating. And I would imagine that you might feel that irritation frequently because of inadequate answers and solutions for your very deep pain.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about that we try to slap a Band-Aid on things that are gaping wounds. Mm. And so not only is it irritating, but it also is a very ineffective attempt to touch the true deep grief I would bet that you have. The little that you told us, Rachel, about your family, my jaw dropped. Yeah. And it's so hard for me to wrap my head around just the piece that you told us. And that's only one slice of what you grew up with. And then the family that you have lost for 14 years. It's just, it's so hard to understand from an outsider. And so I'm gonna guess, too, that there is some deep grief within you that has not been adequately heard or comforted without receiving unsolicited advice.
Agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so when you feel that surface level irritation about things that truly are irritating, I want you to start considering what pool of grief is this touching down below that I need to bring, not to this person giving me advice, but to the safe person who's going to go deep down with me and listen to me without advising, but comfort and validate and empathize. And I think if you will start to do that painful healing work, you'll find that your irritation lessens and you're better able to tolerate the annoying things people do.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite sayings is, those of you who think you know everything are annoying to those of us who do. And sometimes when you're in a situation like this, Rachel, it's so hard because people think that they have the answer for you. But I love the process of grief will free you up so that you can move forward with just, you know, that they're going to ask something. Alice, you got one more thing?
Becky, I was thinking that Matthew chapter 10 tells us that if we follow God's way, it does turn us against some family members, and some family members will hate us for giving tough truth to them about the toxic and even evil behavior that we're seeing, and I think that certainly applies to you, Rachel.
Good insight. Rachel, we're going to send you a copy of Dave Stoops' Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, and hope that helps. We are still taking calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thank you for coming back and listening. And we are going to continue to take your calls for the next hour. So you can call 1-800-229-3000. You know, we were just reflecting back on what Rachel was sharing and how difficult challenging situations can be. And Mylan, of course, you had some words of wisdom in the in-between. Would you please share them with the rest of the world here?
Well, going along with your point, Becky, about acceptance, you know, if we accept what is true, and then to Alice's point of receiving comfort for my pain instead of trying to rectify the situation, those are two very different courses of action. And comfort means, as Alice said, somebody sits down and they listen to what I've been through and they try to comfort me as well as try to figure out and help me, if I'm comforted, why this ties into my history and what inside of my historical narrative is getting triggered and pulled here, or what are my places of defensiveness or reactivity and all these different kinds of things. Maybe the most important part of the journey rather than trying to rectify things.
It's so much a part of the journey because mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of stuff that we deal with that is unacceptable, yet that is the work that we have to do. We are going to take another call, and we're going to talk to Elizabeth, who's calling us from Jonas, Pennsylvania, listens on WBYN. Thanks for holding, Elizabeth. How can we help you today?
Yes, hi, and thank you for taking my call. My question is how and if I can help a loved one. She has a longstanding mental health problem. She used to be treated for successfully, but for the past 6 or 7 years, she denies having a problem, and therefore refused treatment, counseling, medications, even like medical issues. She will not address, and I feel like the episodes are becoming more intense as time goes by. It's breaking my heart. I love this girl with all my heart. I just don't know how to help.
Okay. It is so difficult when you see someone in those situations where they're deteriorating. Alice, Mylan, what would you like to offer to Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, give us a brief description of your relationship with this person so we can get a sense of the influence or leverage that you have in their life.
It's actually my daughter-in-law. And besides her personal situation, of course, I see it's affecting my son. They have 4 children. The last go-around several months ago, she was on Facebook. I don't have that. But apparently she was on this for 2 days. No sleep, no eating. I'm told that she responded, I don't know, to almost 500 people when they commented on what she posted.
And what was her diagnosis? Was it bipolar disorder?
I don't know. Years ago. The only thing I vaguely remember is that she was on several medications, and I think, oddly enough, to me, the one was a form of prescription amphetamine. So I don't know if that helps or not.
Okay. And then briefly, how does your son handle her denial of the problem?
Well, when these episodes occur, of course, you know, he's upset. But like this last time around, he told her she would not be allowed back into the home unless she promised to seek treatment. Well, that lasted about a week. She went to stay with a cousin and his family. And they witnessed bizarre behavior while she was there. And, you know, she ended up back home again. So, but yeah, he seems to get very ruffled, you know, as anybody really would. But then after a while, it's the same old again.
Okay, so Elizabeth, our show is running out of time here, and I just also wanted to give a response. Of course you're concerned. Of course it matters to you what happens to her. She's your family now, and she's the mother of your grandchildren and the wife of your son. So it's important to care and want to see some change. But the person that's going to effectively do this the best is her husband. And so what would be important, in my opinion, as Alice was saying, would be to spend time with your son and talk to him privately about an intercession or some way of interceding and having an intervention, I should say, in her life that would allow her to somehow be able to maybe realize she does need to get help. Even to solicit the opinions of your daughter-in-law's cousin that she stayed with and they witnessed quote-unquote bizarre behavior, it would be really important to say, look, there's so many people that are seeing things here, and we really need to ask you to participate and get help. There are professional interventionists that will actually come into your home. There are you live in a great state where there's a lot of resources, you know, between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And there's a lot around you to solicit this kind of help. So I really want to encourage you to work with your son. He's going to be the primary person that's going to make this happen. I'm glad you love her and you haven't rejected her. Mm-hmm. But interventions are going to be important.
Thank you so much, Mylon, and thank you so much, Elizabeth, for caring. We actually we have an interventionist that we work with that we can connect you with, and I do think that that's a good next step. There has to be a family plan. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have someone in your life, your family, that struggles with mental illness or mental health disorders, it is not a matter of just standing back and watching it all fall apart. People need help.
Right.
And so, but we have a great interventionist that can intervene there and help you to get to the next connection. You know, one of the things that he said once was that the phone call that someone makes to New Life is the first step in intervention. And so many times that is so true, whether it's to a phone call to the show or to one of our counselors, where people are calling us to find help. And one of those great ways that we do help is our weekend workshops. And obviously we're not in person right now, but we have found a way to connect you with some great insights. And this Saturday, we are going to have our Finding Freedom workshop. It's one day. You can attend it from wherever you are. It has never been it's never been as accessible as it is right now. So I want to encourage you, if you've got some place where you're stuck and you're wondering, how can I get free? It could be maybe you're stuck in grief. Maybe you're stuck in anger. Maybe it's a relationship issue that you cannot move through because you can't talk to the other person. And we, you know, talked to somebody earlier on the phone call today about that. We have to do our own work to keep moving forward, and that's what Finding Freedom is all about. Steve Arterburn and Chris Williams will be your speakers. We're going to have breakout groups with our New Life counselors, and it could be a day of change for you. And so we want to encourage you, give us a call today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And there are scholarships available even for our online workshop. So just check into it. This may be the greatest thing to come out of COVID, that you spend a day doing this work. We also have our Everyman's Battle workshop coming up on August 15th. And as you have heard us talk about this so many times, pornography, lust, affairs, they trap you. We want to give you freedom. We have a way to do that. Our speaker, Jason Martinkus, and the team that works on Everyman's Battle, give us a call for help on that one. Scholarships available there too. We appreciate you listening today and appreciate you, Alice and Mylon, for all your help. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app.
Visit newlife.com to download the app today.